And Dr. Brian Weiss with us, and we're going to take your phone calls this entire hour as well, and also perhaps some of your reincarnation stories. Incredible program tonight. Fascinating man. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We'll go to final phone calls here with Dr. Brian Weiss as well. How long does it take you to train people? I know you talk about the sessions, five-day sessions, but can you train them that quickly, maybe even less?
Yes. It takes much longer, of course, to train a therapist. People have to go and get a degree, master's level usually, or PhD, or more. But to train them to do past life regressions is very fast. They already have the skills. And nobody taught me. I just incorporated it as it came around with Catherine, and I was sort of applying my skills as a therapist and a clinician to the material that she was bringing up and integrating it for her. So it can be really fast, George. The hypnosis I can teach in one day, and the techniques of past life regression in just a few days. If the person knows about therapy, then it's much quicker.
Next up, we go to Lowell, Massachusetts. Hello, Debbie, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, Dr. Weiss. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Oh, that's good. First of all, I wanted to say I love this show. It's right up my alley, most of the things that you talk about on the show. And I've had experience and know personally that animals do have souls because I've seen them and felt them. And I was wondering if you've ever run across cases of people and animals who've lived either in the same lifetime or past lifetimes that hook up again in another lifetime.
Well, people hooking up with people all the time. This is that same concept of soulmates or soul companions or family of souls. So we're constantly coming around with many of the same souls. And the same thing holds true with animals. You can feel that you, I think animals really teach a great deal about love and unconditional love. And we really have a lot of lessons to learn in that regard, too. So the answer is yes, we come around again and again. I'm not sure if animal souls are quite as individuated as human souls. That is, do animal souls like merge a little bit? So say you've had four dogs, and which one of those four is it like a somewhat of a combination that comes back with you in the next life? So I'm not sure they're as individualized. Definitely, you come around again and again with the same souls, whether human or animal.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that because I've been rescuing animals all my life. It's a connection I seem to have with them, and I've rescued a lot of animals. And about 8 years ago, I rescued a particular cat who was about 2 years old at the time, and he was new to my house, so he wasn't aware that I whistled in the shower. And I was whistling Dixie one day, and I got the strangest response from him where he came racing into the bathroom and almost jumped into the shower with me. It was just like there was a connection there between us that I don't feel the same in some of the animals I rescue.
Right.
But there's certain ones where there's this like connection, and with him, it just turned something on in his head, and every time I whistled Dixie, he would just come running. It was like it was conditioned response or something, but there wasn't any conditioning.
No, very interesting. That's I love that. And you wouldn't find a cat running into water either or shower. That's
no,
not a natural.
Not at all.
Yeah, he almost jumped into the shower with me, which really surprised me.
But that was very strong on the part of the cat.
It was very odd.
And something in the song or in the whistle or you or both. And you definitely drew a response. And in animals, like a cat, there's not a thinking going on. They're responding to the present moment. They're right there. And that cat recognized something and came running in, and that's a great story.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to Alexis in Hollywood. Hi, Alexis.
Hi. Many blessings to you both.
You too.
And to all of our Coast to Coast family. I just wanted to tell Mr. White.
Yes.
When I was my first year in college, one of my roommates gave me two books that were very significant to my awakening or my remembering. And one was Edgar Cayce's Sleeping Prophet, and the other was Many Lives, Many Masters. And I read the book, and the next day I woke up, and I just knew that I could hypnotize people. And so, of course, I had to try it out on my roommates. which was great because my first roommate, I thought she was kind of kidding. She kept every life she would go back into was the same thing. She was just like some promiscuous, mentally ill person. So she just kept repeating the same patterns. My other roommate I thought was a little bit more interesting, even though I didn't get her to go into a past life. I got her to go all the way back to like age 2. And she remembered things and details of her grandfather's hospital room before he died and all these different things that her mother just couldn't understand. Her mother was not a believer in anything out of the ordinary, but she couldn't understand how Zoe could remember that stuff.
Was her mother able to confirm it, that it was accurate?
Her mother totally confirmed it. I was on the phone when they were speaking, and just she was very surprised. I mean, you know, very genuine in her voice. But she just refused to believe that we had did that. She just figured she just had some crazy memory, you know. But I know for a fact that most of the person that I am today, I acquired through other lessons and other lives, because I did not learn all these amazing abilities and things that I have now. I know I did not learn in the last 30 some odd years.
Well, it seems also that you have abilities as a therapist. You were doing it naturally with your roommates. I'm not saying now you should go and get that degree and practice it more, but you do have abilities there. And it also shows that it's not that difficult to hypnotize people. We could have done it tonight. We started to with the lemon. You know, we could have gone further in the door and looking at your feet. It's what you do with it afterwards. How do you integrate the material? What questions do you ask? How do you get them to remember even more, to ground them in the past life experience? And with a little training, you could be good at that too.
Let's tell me a little bit, Brian, about this relationship between destiny and free will.
I believe that they both exist, that one plays off the other. I also think that before we even are born, we look over our lives and see some of the key points in our lives, perhaps the people we will meet, the critical people, important situations, so that when you meet a person who's significant in your life, for example, that may be destiny. That may have been part of the plan, your learning plan. But what you decide after you meet them, there's the free will part. You can stay together. You cannot stay together for whatever reasons. As we talked about, your parents may not like them or support the relationship, and you listen to your parents instead of following your heart. So the destiny is there, and free will is also present, and that's how we learn here. Destiny is always, to me, like nudging us, pushing us back towards the path we have chosen, our spiritual path, the lesson plan. Say we came here to learn about patience or about compassion or kindness or nonviolence or whatever it is. Destiny will keep moving us towards it, but our free will is also there. That's how we learn in this physical dimension. So they both exist, George, and you know, the free will is always there once we reach a destiny point.
Let's go to Anchorage, Alaska, west of the Rockies. Hello, Robert, your turn. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight? It's a great
all
show.
All is well, Robert. Thanks.
It's a great show, and I've been a fan coast to coast since, like, the early 90s. It's an excellent experience. I appreciate taking my call. I had a question. You know, it sounded like you were basically saying, Dr. Weiss, that a soul is omnitemporal, maybe for lack of a better word. And I wonder if my next life could be 500 years in the past or 1,000 years in the past. And I also had a question about relationships. You know, a couple years ago, met a woman, both of us, we knew instantly, I mean, within seconds that we were connected, and we went through problems, and it just seemed like it was a recurring thing. And I was wondering if you could comment on something like that.
Well, the second part first, it can be. I mean, not all soulmate relationships are positive. Sometimes you've created debts, or the person has hurt you before and you feel that again, but you knew within seconds, and the other person knew within seconds. So when you have something like that, it's usually a meeting of soulmates. In the
if
definition
I was older
of
again, I'm sure, I'm absolutely sure it would feel just like going home. I mean, it always did it every single time I was near. It felt like I was kind of coming down that hill and seeing the old town you used to live in as a child or something. It was that emotional and that close.
Exactly. And that familiar and that comfortable.
Yeah,
and that,
exactly.
That's a soulmate meeting. Your first question, also a very good question. I think that many physicists with whom I talk, and we talk about time and we talk about different dimensions, they offer the possibility that all lifetimes may be happening simultaneously if there's no time. And that could be. So they could be simultaneous, and that's how we remember lifetimes. So you could go into a past life, too. I just find it easier for our minds to comprehend the kind of longitudinal direction that is from past to present to future. It's easier for us to grasp that. But it could be, and you may be absolutely right, that they could be simultaneous, and you could go into a past life or even remember a past life at any time. But it's still easier for us to think of it as going in this direction from past to present to future. It's just easier for us to grasp that.
Brian, other than mental illness, what creates evil? Why are some people just so darn evil to other people?
I think, George, that part of that is ignorance. They're ignorant of why we're here, that we're really souls, that we're here to learn these lessons, and that there's much more to us than the physical body or the brain, so much more to us. And so there's that level of ignorance. And then there's, when you have that ignorance, you have a kind of obsession with greed, with material gain, with power, with all of these things that are not important. You can't take them with you. What you take, you don't take your things. You take your deeds, your actions, how you've grown, how you've helped people. These are the things that we bring with us at the end of a lifetime. And so ignorance is primarily the cause of what we call evil. It's just not knowing that we're souls. It's identifying completely with the body, with the short picture, with missing the bigger picture, the whole spiritual dimensions.
We're going to Orlando, Florida now. You ever been there, Brian?
I have been there, and I'm going to be there again doing a workshop in February or March. So
that's a great area there.
Yeah,
that's
it's good. Wonderful.
Go to Tricia. She is down there. Hi, Tricia.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. So you know how it is, how late it is for us.
not really. It's 4-something here in the morning. And the roosters are crowing. My neighbors got roosters.
Okay.
They're up already, and it's still dark. They're confused. Anyway, I'm glad to have discovered this radio station, I guess, a couple years ago, and I spread the word whenever I have an opportunity to someone that's willing to receive it.
Thanks.
And I have, I guess I have a couple questions, and one that I've not been able to really answer. And I've asked many people, is I don't understand why we come here to learn lessons. And my understanding was if we're created by this perfect creator, then why do we have to come here to learn lessons? And I always believed that we were just living life, vicariously experiencing life. And then another question was, I know someone with lung cancer, and I was wondering what that could be like, attributed to, like in a past, like I heard you talking earlier about some things like that, and I just heard a gentleman talking about how he knew a connection with his spouse and this person that I'm with. We've been, this is the fourth time we've tried this in this lifetime, and I'm like, why do we keep coming back? And it's more like a push-pull relationship because it's not smooth. So I'm like, I'm just like wondering why do I keep doing this?
Well,
but any question you can enlighten me with would be really appreciated.
A soulmate relationship does not have to be smooth. There may be the reason you're meeting, and that's to learn these lessons about understanding or forgiveness or compassion, to let go of pride and ego and these kinds of things. It can be difficult. And if you're in graduate school, you're not going to be taking arithmetic. It's going to be tougher. The courses are tougher. So that's a good lesson there with this relationship. But no abuse. I kind of say that if that enters into a relationship, it's better not to be in it, even if it is a soulmate relationship.
Yeah, no, not this one, but
good.
It's just it's more of struggling personality conflicts and
yeah, it's tough. Yeah. It shows where do you adjust and how do you understand, and when love is present, the sort of boundaries that change, how you can adapt to that, how you can accept and love the other person without having to have it all one way or all the other way. Those are the compromises that we make in loving relationships, because love is there, and love helps to dissolve fear. Your first question, I think, is almost unanswerable to me. It's that I don't know why God or Creator has us here going through this. He doesn't have to do it, I guess. But it's kind of like you find yourself as a kindergarten student being in kindergarten. You're saying, why do I need to be here? I don't need to be here. I was perfectly happy at home. And the answer is, well, you don't really understand it yet, but education is important. It's going to help you to learn things and to become enculturated and perhaps to learn a profession and have a job. But you may not understand this at your level. So we probably just don't understand yet. But we find ourselves in this school. The school does exist, so we don't have to understand all of the motives that may be beyond us. The lung cancer thing is complicated because I would have to know the person specifically. Sometimes lung diseases represent diseases of the chest or lungs in previous lifetimes, and sometimes not. So I would have to know more about that person. But they're all good questions you ask. I wish I could provide you with more specific answers.
Do you think past lives help people in their life to be better people?
I do, because when you remember past lives, you see that you're not just one body, this body, or your name now, that you've had other bodies and other names, you've been in different situations and different religions, so and different nations. So you learn about tolerance, and you learn about compassion, and particularly about empathy, about putting yourself into the other person's shoes or positions. And these are all good qualities. And you learn that if you're not your body, that you are your soul, your consciousness, that what is a soul here to learn? And it's these things, these that we've been talking about love and compassion and forgiveness and kindness and patience and all of these things. So I think when you lose the fear of death, when you realize that you're not the physical body, that you will survive after that, your consciousness, you do become a better person because your values shift. You don't need to accumulate things because you understand that you're not taking them with you anyway. You're kinder to people because you understand that's what souls do. That's how souls are. And that when you leave your body, you're going to have this life review. I find that all the time also. How did you do? Did you learn your lessons? How did you treat people? And one of the things that's interesting, George, is that it gets magnified so that if you were kind to people, you feel their appreciation coming back to you, magnified many times. But if you were cruel, if you were hurtful, you feel their hurt coming back to you, magnified many times. And this is a great learning technique.
Yeah, it sure is. It is pretty remarkable how it all works.
Perhaps. Yes.
And it's got some magic to it, doesn't it?
It really does.
Are your works many lives, many masters, and also same soul, many bodies, are they still available?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can find all of these on Amazon, and they're actually 8 books. They
keep multiplying.
They do. Incarnations.
Little rabbits.
Little rabbits, yeah. Only Love is Real, about soulmates, and many others, too.
Brian, let's come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Listening to that oldie reminds me of the weekend I had in Chicago at the Hall of Fame. I had a chance to meet Dr. Demento. How cool was that, huh? On our next Coast to Coast program, Andrew Barshago joins us, and we'll be talking with Andrew about how he witnessed growing up a secret program of time travel research and teleportation technology. That'll be on our next Coast to Coast program. And when we come back, we'll take final phone calls with Dr. Brian Weiss on Coast to Coast AM. Brian, does the soul always evolve? And by that, when it comes back, does it always get a little better toward perfection?
Well, I'm not sure that it always does. That's the linear path. It's supposed to, that we're in school, but we still have our free will, as we've talked about, and we may choose to not learn very much in a lifetime. A soul may seem to regress in a lifetime. Overall, it's going forward. It's progressing along the spiritual path, but it's not always an even upward line. It may zig and zag a little bit. So you may spend several lifetimes, for example, working on patience or working on nonviolence and slip a little bit, but you have to make that up. So it's not always linearly so.
Okay, let's go to more. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Paul, it's your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to let you guys know this is a really good show tonight. My question for the doctor is the multiverse theory. And I know that it's starting to become commonplace in science today. A lot of scientists are starting to believe in the multiverse theory. If things are happening or already has happened, currently is happening and will happen in the multiverse, say if I go right in this universe, then that means I went left in another. So all the there's infinite possibilities in the multiverse. If this is the case, then what is the point of reincarnation?
Well, it's a complicated question because what is it all about anyway? It's about our learning and evolving and going to a place that's even beyond all of these physical dimensions. So I was reading a cosmology. I love reading that stuff too, reading about an infinite number of universes and universes constantly being formed. And it's fascinating. I mean, it's such a complex world beyond universes that we live in. But the point is to learn these lessons. It seems to transcend any physical dimensions. And
so is every being in every universe, in every multiverse, they're all experiencing the same reincarnation, or is it a different reincarnation? Because, I mean, in a sense, it's the same individual, but it's just they're just living a different life, per se, in a different multiverse.
It's true, and it gets at the concept of the soul, which is a little complicated, too, because to me, let's say that beings exist in other dimensions and in other planets, but souls are souls. They're all the same in whichever universe they exist. The bodies may be very different. The physical coverings of the soul, the vehicles that the soul uses may be very, very different. But the learning of the soul goes on. And even if it's learning in a million different places all at the same time, the learning still goes on, and it's still in the same direction to learn and master these traits. Love, compassion, we've been talking about all evening. So it doesn't matter where. This is just one school. And you don't have to even worry yourself so much about that. That gets very intellectual because it really comes from the heart. And it's all about the heart and compassion and this kind of learning. It doesn't matter where in all of the universes you're learning this. It's all the same wisdom.
Okay, thank you.
It's important not to get lost in all of that because it gets so complex.
Let's go to Santa Fe, Texas. Hello, Lynette. It's your turn.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much. Fantastic. I was wondering how you felt about Edgar Cayce's theory about how karma comes into play in birth defects and childhood traumas, which from what I'm extrapolating from what you're saying is something that is residual, that we still have to become balanced because we didn't do so in the past life. Is that correct?
I read a lot of Edgar Cayce's work, and someone asked a question about that earlier, and I admire his work. And this was going really against his grain as a kind of very, very religious person, and these were different concepts, alien to him in his conscious state. But he provided great evidence about karma, and his work was carefully recorded and documented.
Well,
I'm not as strict. I find that there's grace. You know, that concept of maybe a hand from heaven reaching down to change things, because I believe that once you understand it, you don't have to go through it. Once you understand the karma, the balancing occurs naturally. You don't have to keep suffering. And I also think that karma is not punishment, but it's opportunities for learning and growth. It presents the soul with these opportunities. It's not a punishment.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, I really appreciate knowing that, because I had a psychic tell me that in a previous life I was a leading a battalion of troops to their death, and I would have bad things, you know, bad karma experiences in my life that I needed to try to do the best that I could, but I had to endure them.
No, I don't think so. I'm not so fatalistic. I don't find that at all. I find once you understand, and in your case, the understanding may be that violence is not a good thing. Violence is not something that souls do. Then it drops away. You don't have to suffer at all. Once you've learned it, it's over.
Well,
so
that's,
don't
that's,
be pessimistic about that.
Yeah, thank you so much, and you guys have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thank you.
You do help a lot of people, Brian. It's obvious. Jeez.
I love these people because, you know, the people listening to your show, they're open-minded. They want to learn more. They want to share their experiences, and it's really great. I'm having a marvelous time here. It's rare. For me, being on the East Coast, it's really late. I see my mind is not as sharp as it usually is, but I'm loving it.
You're doing okay.
Thank you.
It's 4:44 where you are.
I know. I feel it, but I'm loving it, George. Thank you so much for this opportunity tonight.
We go to John now in Nova Scotia. Hello, John. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hey. Dr. Weiss, the kindness and the compassion in your voice is tangible. It comes right through. And, George, thank you for having this man on. Yeah. He's wonderful, and so are you. I just wanted to ask Dr. Weiss, first of all, Dr. Weiss, what do you think about the whole idea of a matrix, as is taught in, like the movie, The Matrix?
Yes.
Or what is in quantum physics or in A Course of Miracles?
Well, that's a lot of territory you're asking, John.
No.
Course in Miracles, I find, along with the Seth material, if you're
yes.
aware of that with Jane Roberts, is mm-hmm. very similar to what I find. There's a lot of correlation there and a lot of wisdom in both of those works. With The Matrix, I'm not so sure. I find it depends which part of it you mean. I kind of believe that we're all energy and we're not using a lot of our intuitive abilities. But if you were a little more specific about what you mean by that.
Well, for example, the Course in Miracles basically teaches that that we are dreaming. This is a dream. It's an illusion,
yeah.
Like Ella Wheeler Wilcox
right.
said in her poem a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and that we are actually in heaven. That we were created by the Father, and
mm-hmm.
that's basically the theory behind the Course in Miracles and the teaching. And it's really beautiful. I've been a student for a
yeah.
while. So.
Yeah. Well, Marianne Wilson is a good friend of mine for years, and I've been, you know, the Course in Miracles came out of Columbia University, where I was an undergraduate.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was kind of pulled to that anyway, after my experiences with Catherine. And I found, like I wrote this book, we were talking about it before, named Only Love is Real. And I found that actually not, I didn't know it, but that's in the course also. So I think that our task here is to make Earth more like heaven.
Yes.
We get lost in what's illusion and what's not illusion.
Yep.
We're here, and if we can realize that we're really capable of turning Earth into paradise, into heaven, and we do that through acts of kindness and compassion, it's not so mysterious. The Course in Miracles outlines it, but so do all the great religions. Then we can turn the Earth more into a heaven, into a paradise. We're souls. See, that's where the illusion comes from. We just have to remember that. We're not our physical bodies, because we've had many of these. And we know that the body is energy, it's atoms, it's molecules. We're souls. And so it is an illusion, but not to get lost in that. Our task is to turn the Earth into heaven now.
If a soul, Brian, reincarnates, does that mean the person, the living person, has lost touch with their dearly departed loved one?
I don't think it's entirely that we dwell in our bodies. That most of us, this spirit is not in our bodies, that we're on the other side simultaneously, but we're just not aware of it. And the soul is like that part of the spirit that's in the physical body. So we're on the other side at the same time that we're here in physical bodies, but we lose our awareness. And I guess, you know, every society, every religion has stories of people who practice meditation and other techniques of going within, deeply practicing, who are able to sort of part that veil, that illusion, as John was just alluding to in his last, in the last call. And they're able to see the other side too. And maybe mediums do that a little bit also. But I think that not all of us is in the physical body, that we're on the other side too. So we don't lose everything when we reincarnate. Now, all cultures have theories of forgetting past lives, like touching that little part of the face between the upper lip and the nose, or drinking the water of Lethe. This is the Greek myth for how people forget their past lives. But the concept of reincarnation and past lives has been around forever. And I think that now, because it's becoming so important, as we talked about earlier, George, about the race of technology and falling into ignorant hands racing against their spiritual values, it's important that people do remember their past lives and remember that we're more than just our bodies, and we're not just here to acquire things and to gain power or power over others or money or whatever. We're here to learn our lessons and to be good people, kind people, compassionate people. This is what a soul is. So we forget, but we can remember.
Elkhart, Illinois. Andy, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. You're with Dr. Brian Weiss.
Yeah, good morning, George. Excellent
morning.
Show once again.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dr. Weiss, I had a question for you. Recently, my wife and I, we had lived in a combined household with my daughter and grandson and son-in-law and such. Anyway, my four-year-old grandson frequently says he doesn't want to grow old again. And then just last week, we were sitting on the patio, and we were just talking, and all of a sudden, he just starts cackling. And he says, I remember when I was an old man, I used to eat spaghetti with pickles in it. He said, I loved walking my kids to school. And he is just dead serious about this. I mean, do I question him about it? Do I leave it to, you know, his imagination? Or what do I do with that?
Well, there's no danger in questioning him. It's not risky. He's bringing it out himself. And you're not hypnotizing him. He's telling you. So you can ask him, like, because he's remembering when he was big. So what he's saying is funny for a four-year-old, too. You can ask him if you want, because he doesn't seem to have any symptoms coming out of it, so it's not important in that way. But if you wanted to ask him, like, do you remember where it was, spaghetti with pickles? Now you're starting to get some cultural sort of clues. Where do they eat spaghetti with pickles? Does he remember the name of the town or the country or the language or anything else? Does he recognize you? Were you together before? Lots of questions that I could think of to ask him, and it's perfectly safe to do so.
Okay, because I didn't know whether or not to encourage it or explore it, because he's had so many experiences with ghosts in this new house.
We
just bought a house recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had contacts with ghosts. We found him when he was 3 years old in this creepy old basement that we have early in the morning by himself. And he said he was watching the old man do his laundry in a metal tub.
Well, and you have a very sensitive child there, and he's having memories. It won't hurt to ask those questions.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Great show. I think you're doing great work.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to David. Victoria, British Columbia, a couple minutes to go. Go ahead, David.
Oh, great. Thanks, gentlemen. Honor, Dr. Weiss. I've been remembering past lives since I was a kid, and then once I learned to meditate in my late teens, it just was a flood. And I thought it might be interesting, maybe for George especially. I had I was single through my 20s and 30s. I didn't really get into a serious relationship, marriage, till late 30s. And so I had three past life remembrances around three specific relationships. And sure enough, it's where there's that chemistry, that recognition. But One was, it turned out, well, wasn't that happy in this life. The woman ended up aborting our child-to-be. But the memory was that we were in, like, Mongolia in, like, Middle Ages or something, and our tribe was attacked by another tribe, and I was being tortured, and she had to flee. And it ended up she had to, like, kill our baby in order to save her own life and escape. Yeah. And I thought, well, the same thing happened.
Yeah, and I've heard stories like that, too, with Native Americans, too. Where
and it just kind of it brings to mind sometimes when you feel that chemistry, it might be a signal to run screaming more than make it happen. And to certainly keep in mind, especially in relationships like this, that there's many different levels and chakras to work out a relationship.
Yeah. Yes, it would have been, you know, looking back, and you can't change things, but if you guys had had regressions before aborting the baby, it wouldn't have had to happen because she would have recognized it's from then. She was having a fear that something was going to happen to the baby. She couldn't face that again, or there was some issue with that. And if she realized it was from an ancient lifetime, she wouldn't have had to do that. But you can't go back and change that. It's just the understanding.
Most people who reincarnate, they're not all kings and queens and things like that, are they?
No, you find very, very rare to have that. Most are mundane. Many more slaves than there are kings.
Many, probably.
Many, yes.
Bruce, as we wrap up, tell me again about your Phoenix event for people who might want to go out there.
Yes, I do a lot of these one-day events. The Phoenix event is great. It's people can find information on my website. It's a large event with many speakers, and you've probably had many of them on your show too. So it's Celebrate Your Life Conference, and it's put on by a little group of wonderful women known as Mishka. And I'll be there this weekend. I'm going to be in Tampa the following weekend. I'm going to be in Orlando, as we talked about, and Portland, and all over the country, Fort Lauderdale, Boston. So if people want to experience it directly with me in a group, I welcome them to any of these events, George.
Well, you keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, Dr. Brian Weiss. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.